grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise.
This morning, how many of you have had a great, relaxing, carefree? You didn't do a single thing this past week. I see one person with her hand up way back in the back, and it happens to be her birthday today. So, Mary Willard, happy birthday today. So, I know that I had a busy week, and I'm sure all of you had a busy week, but hopefully today, this morning, we can all have a relaxing time in the house of the Lord this morning. So as you look around, you'll see that we are down. In fact, this morning, we've got a lot of people vacationing this morning. So while I am a little bit maybe jealous of them, I do pray that they have a good time, a safe time, and that they can come back to us next week. Pastor Gary is vacationing again this morning. We have this lovely gentleman back here that will be preaching this morning. Yes, we are looking around trying to find him. So Pastor Don will be preaching again for us again this morning and then also this evening as well. If you would, go ahead and turn with me to your bulletins. I've got some changes and some adjustments on some of these. The first one being, it says in the bulletin that tonight after service there is to be an SDMI meeting. We're going to change that to directly following service this morning. So if you are part of the SDMI meeting, we're going to meet in Stella's classroom directly following service. Then tomorrow evening, if you are part of the church board will meet at 7 o'clock for our regular scheduled monthly meeting. And for those of you that have children that have completed the first through the third grade, primary children's camp is this week. If you guys need any more information, I'm sure you could probably see Steve Beechler for that, or out on the bulletin board, there's some more information on that. And then Wednesday is our junior camp for all children that have completed grades 4 through 6. So, again, you can see Steve Beechler for more information on that, or out on the bulletin board in the foyer out there. Then Tuesday night, as you guys know, is men's softball, 6:45 this Tuesday. Last week we had a hard loss. We played First Baptist Church of Ozark, and they normally win the league every year, and we had them tied up in the final inning, 15-15, and we couldn't get that winning run across the play, so we had to go in extra innings. And unfortunately, they came out ahead, but I was pretty impressed with our group of guys. They played well, they fought hard, and we just came up a little short. Again, we had our true and faithful cheering section out there, and we look forward to each week you guys coming out cheering us on. This week, it'll be at 6:45 down at the park in Ozark. And then Wednesday night, of course, we'll have a regularly scheduled Bible study. We will be having choir practice for you choir members out there. Be sure and be here at 6:30 on Wednesday evening. For you senior adults, this Thursday at noon is potluck with the pastor. So be prepared for that. And I believe that is all of the real announcements that I have today. So we're going to go ahead and head into our greeting time. I know it's a little crowded out there, but stand up. Find someone you may have not have seen yet this morning and greet one another.
Stand up and bless the Lord your God from everlasting to everlasting. Stand up and bless the Lord your God from everlasting to everlasting. And blessed be your glorious name, O Lord, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. And blessed be your glorious name, O Lord, which is exalted, which is exalted. Stand up and bless the Lord your God from everlasting to everlasting. Stand up and bless the Lord your God from everlasting to everlasting. And blessed be your glorious name, O Lord, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. And blessed be your glorious name, O Lord, which is exalted, which is exalted. Blessed be your glorious name, O Lord, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. And blessed be your glorious name, O Lord, which is exalted, which is
knows how to push the buttons on the CD player. So any of the rest of you that don't know how to read like Ben, we've got the CDs for those missionary books. So go for it. And I know that a lot of them are missing out there now. So yay, you guys are doing really good. Okay, now it's time for confession. After giving you such a hard time about missionary books last week, I forgot to take one home. But it will be done by next Sunday. So the rest of you who are feeling a little guilty that you haven't read a missionary book yet, there's still a few out there, so take them home and read them. But that's not why I'm up here today. Today I want to tell you about Engage Magazine. Just in case you haven't, you don't know about the Engage Magazine, that's the Nazarene missionary magazine stuff. And it's not junk mail that's going to come into your mailbox. Just go online, put in www.engagemagazine.com, and you get such wonderful stories about the mission work all across the world. For example, this morning I just read a story about a pastor and his family in a country where it is not legal to be a Christian, so it's kind of a dangerous thing. And he sells roasted corn and little jars of gasoline in order to make a living. But and his family was very faithful tithers, to the point that even his 11 and 12 year old sons tithed their lunch money, and God always provided. Well, there was one particular morning they had a group of young people that were going to be at their house in just 2 or 3 days to sing, to witness, to help them build their church. And they had nothing to eat. And he had no money, not 1 cent in his pocket, not one grain of rice in their house. The family got up, they went to the breakfast table, and they prayed. There was nothing else to do. There was no food to eat. And they knew that God was faithful, that God would provide. At 1 o'clock that afternoon, now remember, these two 11 and 12-year-old children were at the table praying instead of eating until 1 o'clock that afternoon. A messenger came to their door and left $30 and said, "Someone told me to bring this to you." They have no idea where it came from, but they knew God would be faithful, and he was. They had the money then for the to provide for the youth that came in. They had money for them to eat. And they just knew that God was faithful. Those are the kind of things you read about in EngageMagazine.com. So go to that website and check it out and see what's happening on the mission field. and pick up a missionary book on your way out.
Thank you, Vicki. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Brother Don Brandstein, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning,
yes, Lord,
for the privilege we have of giving unto you. And we pray that you'll be with each one of us as we give of our tithes and our offering. And bless, we pray, in this following service. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Call this the echo song. The men will start and the ladies will echo.
You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
Great. saving grace. You will reign forever. You will reign to days. You will Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. You're my Savior, Messiah, Redeemer and friend. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you.
Able to, would you stand as we read responsively, and Carolyn's going to lead us with this scripture.
Then I, John, looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10 times 10,000. In a loud voice they sang,
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.
Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing.
To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.
After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting,
Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments.
And again they shouted,
Hallelujah!
Then a voice came from the throne saying,
Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great.
Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting,
Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Jesus, my King, my wonderful Savior, all of my life is given to Thee. I am rejoicing in Thy salvation. Thy precious blood now maketh me free. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior, Thou art so near, so precious to me. Sin, oh, wonderful story, all of its stains washed whiter than snow. Jesus has come to live in his temple, and with his love my heart is aglow. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior, Thou art so near, so precious to me. Behold thy glories untold. I shall be like thee, wonderful Savior, and I will sing while ages unfold. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior, Thou art so near, so precious to me.
as we prepare to go to the Lord today in prayer, just received word a few minutes ago that Debbie Brandstein's father passed away about 9:30 this morning. So that family needs your prayers and encouragement as they go through this difficult time. Keep praying for Joanna, a special lady. And she had a good week. So God is working. God is doing special things. I wonder this morning, I feel like there's someone here that would want to take just a moment to praise the Lord, a personal testimony that you'd like to share. I know I'm putting myself on the spot in doing that, but I feel like there's someone who'd like to share. Yes, Paula. Amen. I saw another hand back here someplace. Yes, Chris. Amen. Amen. Are there other requests for prayer today? Ask just in passing, our son had surgery on his knee on Thursday and is doing very well. In fact, he's trying to stand in the pulpit this morning. I hope, pray that the Lord is going to be with him as he endeavors to speak to his church today. Are there other requests? Yes. Okay. Man. Okay, thank you. I saw another hand over here. Okay. Okay. Thank you for those. Are there others? Okay, as we have another verse to this song. If you'd like to pray here at the altar, the altar is open, and you're certainly welcome to come at this time. Dear Father, as we come before you today, we come with open hearts and open our minds to your truth, Lord. All across this group, there are those who are struggling, fighting battles. And Father, help us today to concentrate on you, O Lord, as the healer. Yes, we need healing, but the real goal is touching the healer, being what you want us to be, dear Lord. And so as we worship you today in spirit and in truth, we want to give you praise and honor and glory for being the healer. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, as we pray today, we pray for all of these that prayer's been requested for. And Father, when we are touched, there's no small things that we pray about because they become alive and real when it's our family. There are special needs and special physical needs that need to be touched today, and the family that suffered a loss even today as we have come together to worship. Be with Pastor Gary today. Encourage his heart. Give him rest. And Father, we just want to commit this service into the hands of Almighty God. In your name we pray. Amen. If you notice me limping a little extra today, it's true, I am limping a little extra. And I'm trying to favor my knee, and trying to favor it, I think, makes it worse than just taking it like it is and going on. You know, I mentioned in the prayer time, there's no small things that occur in our lives. When our kinfolk are ill, when there seems to be no answers that the doctors have, minor surgery is somebody else's surgery, it's not yours. Because when it happens to you, it's major. And so, in light of that, let's as a church be sympathetic, caring, and understanding, because there's a lot of hurting people around us. There's a lot of hurting people around us that need our prayers, who are hurting spiritually and struggling spiritually. And they need our care as God's people. Turn with me, if you would, this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to begin reading with verse 6. We have scripture up today. Notice that? My wife said, you didn't give people enough time to turn to the scripture last Sunday. So today we have it up here, and hopefully I gave you enough time to turn to it. Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with the 6th verse. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Father, we ask your blessing on the reading of the Holy Scripture today in Christ's name. Amen. Next time I preach, I'm going to have to talk with Pat and see what he's teaching in his class, because the last two Sundays, I think we pretty well paralleled each other, and he's done a good job, and I'm trying to do the best that I can. I'd like to talk to you for just a few moments today about the beauty of the church. What do you think about when you think about your church? Do you think about the sanctuary? We have a very beautiful sanctuary. But the church of Jesus Christ's beauty is not in the building, but in the people who have chosen to follow God. There are people who are living and fulfilling the gospel of Jesus Christ. These people that I read to you here, the Thessalonian church, were to be models to the believers that surrounded their church. They were known for their faith. As we read this passage, the church was revealed as it should be. As we think about this passage, they use God's call and their faith to reach and teach people around them. Our goal as a church is not just to have the lights on. Our goal as a church is not just to have good music, but we have great music. I like those foot padding tunes that Janet comes up with that kind of livens things up. Sometimes I have a hard time keeping both feet on the floor at the same time when she does those. But they were following Jesus as imitators of the Lord. You can't do better in living your life for Christ than doing your best to be just like him. Just like Jesus. Does your life reflect? Does my life reflect Jesus Christ? What's the first thing you think about when you look in the mirror in the morning? Well, I think about needing to shave most of the time because I'm kind of furry when I wake up in the morning. But when you look at yourself in the mirror, is Christ reflected in your life? When people look at you out on the street or wherever they happen to meet you, does your life reflect Christ? I keep talking about driving on Campbell Street the illustration of maybe where not to be.
if you can't reflect Jesus in your driving. Because sometimes it gets pretty sticky, especially on Friday evening when everybody's in a rush to get out of town and get home and cars are going ever which way and people think that they have to do their particular type of driving when I'm on the street. It's hard to understand. Why can't they just get out of the way and let me through and not interfere with where I'm trying to go? Well, that's what I meant when I talked about reflecting Christ in your driving. Your face, the way you drive, the things you do, the people you talk to and the way you talk to them, does that reflect Jesus? Are you saying the things to them that Jesus would say? The church then was trying to live for Christ in an unholy society. In fact, it was probably be called today a barbarian society, the way the Romans treated the people who were under their rule. If a soldier passed you on the street in the city, he could compel you to carry a load for a mile. Jesus said, if he compels you to go a mile, go 2 miles. The worst insult that a person could have was to be slapped in the face with a shoe from the foot of one of their fellow men. Jesus said, if they slap you on one side, turn the other cheek. Sometimes that's really hard to do. Sometimes it's hard to turn the other cheek. If somebody says something pretty nasty to you, your first response, if you're like me, kind of boils up in your throat before you have a chance to think about it. But the scripture tells us to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so we need to think. We need to not only welcome the gospel truth that is preached and taught in our churches and in our Sunday schools, but we need to live that gospel truth out there where the rubber meets the road. We need to work and live and love as born-again believers and share the message of Jesus Christ with joy. There are a lot of human philosophies in our world today. Some of them, I guess, could be considered good. Some of them give us a way of living. And they may have their place. But friends, the soul of the human being is quickened by the Holy Spirit of God, and we're given power to live in the place that God has planted us and be what God wants us to be and share the words of life with a society that so desperately needs Jesus Christ. The church has an inner joy. Born-again believers have an inner joy that kind of has a way of seeping out. The story is told by one lady who is quite a leader as far as as a speaker's concern, and she talked about us being cracked pots. I know, you think I'm a crackpot. But she was talking about the vessels that contain the Spirit of God. And she said when we're cracked pots, it allows the light of the Holy Spirit to shine through the cracks to reach a world that needs to know about Jesus. Walking, living, doing in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Their life of service to Jesus Christ was not a burden, but a joy to them to serve the risen Lord. Yes, I know we're 2,000 years down the road from when Christ walked among men. But your life and my life should still contain the joy of serving the risen Lord. Our lives should be filled with God, the Holy Spirit, who gives direction and causes us to be joyous in the privilege that we have in serving the Lord. Their soul's joy and delight was to serve Christ. Sometimes I think I would like to go back to that time and maybe walk on the streets where the risen Lord walked. They had their time. And this day is His church's time to live, to share, to delight in serving God. Caught up in the truth of the good news. I think every one of us here today believes that the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. But sometimes when we face the world out there, they'd never know that we had ever heard any good news in our lives. Do you smile when you meet people? You say a smile is not a sign that you know Jesus Christ. No, but folks, it's a really good step to open a conversation with. Some people are pretty cantankerous, aren't they? Some people you don't feel like smiling when you meet. Some people can be downright rude. But Christians, if we are doing what God has asked us to, are filled with that joy that causes us to rejoice and be joyous when we come in contact with others. In Acts, the 13th chapter and the 52nd verse, it reads this way, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Joy. Blessing, the blessing of God living in our hearts and life. The church of that day became a model for others. He said, "Follow as I follow Christ." Paul was encouraging them to follow the Lord. Their Their faith is what set the church apart. If we don't believe what we preach, if we don't practice what we preach, are we any different than a club down on the corner? Says, come to our club. We have a really good time together. The people of God should have a really good time together and should really care for one another and should really be interested in what happens to each other. Does the Lord's message ring out from you and from me? Do you make your faith known wherever you go? Whatever may be the situation. They were prosperous, but it had nothing to do with money. I started to say, how many of you think money makes you happy? But discount that question. There's a lot of people who have a lot of dollars. It's a lot more convenient when you have money. I have to grant you that. But money is not the source of the Christian's happiness or joy. Their faith set the church apart because they were rich in God. They were rich because of the influence of the Word of God in their lives. They changed their peers, the people that surrounded the church near and far, were changed because those people were influenced by God's Word. There's never regret when we live and teach the truth. I think you all know that I'm kind of a stickler for the truth of God's Word and what it means. And it seems that in the world in which we live, there's a lot of people that no longer believe that this is the infallible Word of God. And it contains all the truth that you need to make heaven your home. But it still remains. It's still God's Word. It's still the truth. It still carries out what God would have carried out in our world. They turn from worldly life to godly living. Jesus Christ became the sacrifice for their sins. When you think about your life and your past, is Jesus Christ the supreme sacrifice for the change that's taken place in you? The fact that he is the sacrifice for sin does not save the lost. There has to be a personal turning to Jesus Christ by each one of us if we are going to be what God wants us to be. I'm not talking about saying, well, I recognize him as the Son of God. That's a step in the right direction. But accepting him personally as your personal Savior and allowing him to make you a new creation in the Lord. Worldly attractions in that day were numerous, and our day seems to be no exception. Living for God is to forsake sin and turn from the world and become separate from everything that divides our affections and hinders us from serving God with a heart full of faith. God must be Lord of all, or He won't be Lord at all. They became servants of the true and living God. They left the idols of their day. They would not substitute those inanimate pieces of wood that were covered with gold that people called gods. Those coal-carved idols to a God who listened and heard. When you pray and when I pray, does a living God who hears our prayers or hears your prayers, is He listening? Do you feel like God's listening when you pray and that He cares for you? The loving Creator, He answered, He was the answer to the needs of their lives. The God who lived and loved and cared and was worthy of dedicated living. The God of the Scriptures is the God who is worthy of our worship and our love. The God who cares when we are hurting and needy, the Redeemer, the Savior, and instills joy in our hearts and lives when we're open to serve Him. They were waiting for His Son from heaven. The prophets of old expected the Messiah to come from heaven. They looked for Him. They expected Him. They waited a long time. And our church has waited a long time for the Lord to come back from heaven. But the church lives in the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, beginning with the 11th verse. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, if I had good advice for you today, it would be keep your eyes on the sky. I believe the Lord could return at any moment. Do you expect Him to come? Are we serving Jesus Christ like the second coming could happen any second? When He comes, the whole world as we know it will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. The church needs to be the church in this day as we expect Jesus to come. Is our vision dimmed? I've been listening to some of the songs on the Inspiration Channel on Sirius Radio. And there's a song now that's out that keeps talking about his expecting Jesus. But he's been kind of disappointed. But folks, Jesus is coming again, regardless of how disappointed or how we may be thinking about his return being put off. But in the fullness of time, Jesus will come just as he promised. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. Promise written in the last book of our Bibles. The promise of his return. The promise of him doing what he said he will do. We face a day, or the world faces a day, of coming wrath. I know it's not fashionable anymore to preach about the wrath of God. A lot of people like to preach about his love and never say anything about his wrath. I don't want to major on his wrath. But for all of those who reject the Christ of Calvary, there is a certain coming of a day of wrath. In Revelation 6, verse 15, then the kings of the earth, princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every man hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They call to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come. Who can stand? I don't want to major on that closing day when God will come. But I think the church needs to be aware that there's a coming day when Jesus will come, as he said. Pardon me. But the church of Jesus Christ will not face that day of wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, he's the bright hope. Smile when you think of the Lord. Be joyful in your heart because of what he has done. We are the church. And the church is the bright and only hope for mankind to escape wrath. We are called to honor Christ Jesus. He is the head of the church. Jesus is Lord. And as the church, we must do things honoring his great name and follow him with an openness of heart and life. We must model. We must be encouragers. We must point others toward Jesus Christ by our words and by the lives we live until he comes for his own. You believe Jesus is coming again? Do you think that's an imminent thing that's going to take place? When I started out preaching, I thought the Lord's coming very soon. Now in 50 plus years, he wasn't working on my time schedule. But I believe he's coming again. And I believe he's coming for his church. And folks, the world so desperately needs people who are living their life totally sold out to Christ, doing everything they can to point people toward Jesus. Let's stand together. I want you to take just a moment with a bowed head. Closed eyes. Ask yourselves a question. Does my life really point toward Jesus? Is God the Holy Spirit Lord in my life? This question is answered between you and God. Not between you and the preacher, it's between you and God. And there's not a person under the sound of my voice today that doesn't know exactly where they stand in their relationship with God. Because God knows you just like you are. He knows me just like I am. Father, as we come to the close of this service today, we close with the admonition to the church to follow Jesus and to be what you want us to be in the days that you have given us. May we fulfill your call and be ready and waiting expectantly when you come again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.